So my name is Erin McPherson. I'm one of the original founders and directors for Valhalla Fest here in Terrace. So we started planning for Valhalla in 2017, and then we had our first Valhalla Fest in 2018. So 2020 would have been our third year. Unfortunately, due to COVID, that did not happen. So this will be our official third year here in 2021.
Yeah. And at any point last year, were you and is it a board that makes up Valhalla Fest? Were you considering having a festival at all last year, or was it just no go in 2020?
So we started actually planning the 2020 event in November of 2019. And we started like getting artists ready. We started the lineup in January. We started prepping everything. And then March 17th of 2020, when everything shut down, we're like, okay, like we'll play it by ear. We're still going to continue planning just in case, because we were, you know, kind of under that assumption that like, oh, this is all going to be over in like a month and we'll be able to go ahead, no worries. And then obviously that did not happen. So April of 2020, we kind of sat down. It's three directors. It's myself, and then Ray Peterson and my husband Jordy Laidlaw. And so we kind of sat down as the directing team and we're like, is there any way we can do this? And we all kind of decided that we just needed to hold off. We were just kind of not really sure what anyone was doing, because of course no one really got the go ahead until they did the announce of the 4-stage reopen plan. And so that kind of happened in May, and then in late June, they were like, yeah, so phase three is going into effect and festivals will be able to continue as regular without any regulations. They just need to have a communicable disease plan in place. And we're like, oh, this is great, because we've basically been planning like, if the 2021 event can happen, we're basically going to plan a whole COVID plan. So we had a whole COVID plan ready if we were able to go through. And so July 1st of 2021, we're like, oh, we're doing it. we're going for sure.
Yeah. That's great to hear. And it's also, I think that it's interesting for listeners to hear how festivals are happening this year, and also just like how it was very like slingshot. Like you were waiting and waiting and waiting. And then when you knew that you could like go with your plans, it was like, oh my God, move fast. Let's plan for it. And hopefully this Delta variant doesn't shut everything down again. not to jinx it.
You know, there's always a chance that something may happen. So which we're always planning for, okay, if there's an outbreak, how do we deal with that? Contact tracing, making sure everybody stays safe. How do we encourage mask use if people aren't fully vaccinated? You know, reaching out to our local community and not just the patrons, but also everyone who lives in our area for advice on how do you think we can be safer? How can we do this and still be safe? Asking volunteers, you know, how would they do it? What safety things do they need in order to feel safe to attend?
Could you describe the event for anyone who's not been to Valhalla Fest before?
Yeah, so Valhalla Fest actually lies on 158 acres of old growth forest. It's like 10 minutes outside of the downtown core of Terrace. And you come through our kind of gates and then you're greeted by these two gorgeous cabins on either side, one of which is our gatehouse, the other of which is for artists that we're kind of using as a green room. And then it opens up into a huge parking space, and then a bunch of old growth forest just around that. And it seems kind of low key when you first drive in, but then as you go deeper and deeper into the festival grounds, it's just these huge giant trees and lights all over the place. And we're installing giant art pieces. So you'll see a 22-foot tall steel sword with light reactive lights within it that shine through as the music pulses. We have a performance area next to our nighttime stage where usually we have fire performances, so like fire eaters, fire dancers. Sometimes during the summer, because we have fire bans, we have to follow the provincial guidelines when it comes to that. So instead of doing fire performances this year, depending on what the regulations are regarding fire, we'll probably have LED performances. We have giant art pieces that look like a very, very large, like Night Bright with pegs in it, but instead of having plastic pegs, they're reusable water bottles that have colored water in them. And so whenever you put them in the board, it makes a giant knife, right? So we've got 6 different camp spots, and all of them kind of have their own feel. They're all inspired and named after Nordic mythology. So we have like Odin's clearing and Jotun's shadow and Freya's garden and Norn's well. And then this year we built a brand new stage at our beach area, and we called it Leaf's Beach, and it's actually in the trees. It's like a treehouse stage. And so right next to where we have our treehouse stage, there's this very calm portion of the Zimmacord River where you can actually go swimming. Thanks to some very lovely beavers and their very well-made dam, it actually slows down the river where you can swim and be safe. And it's a very relaxing area. We allow pets on leashes. So we know that people have dogs and often they can't go to festivals because a lot of festivals don't allow pets, but we do allow pets as long as they're on leash. And we're one of the EDM festivals that also allow kids as long as they're with their legal guardian or parent. Because again, a lot of people who used to go to like raves in the 90s have grown up, got older, had kids, and they can't necessarily go to the raves the way they used to because they have kids. So we wanted to create a space where people who love electronic music can still bring their kids so they can experience the music that they got to listen to and to jive to as a young person. And so their kid can be like, oh man, I absolutely love this EDM. And they'd be like, yeah, man, back in the 90s, we had this rad techno. And now their kids get introduced to what they got to listen to. So we were really happy that we got to have a ton of kids last year who got to experience that kind of festival feel without being subjected to, you know, maybe things that aren't necessarily family friendly. We want to create an environment where people can grow and experience art and make art with not just adults, but with their kids too.
Oh, okay. And so you said it's an old, like 150 acres of old growth forest. So how do you mitigate like littering and dog poop and all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
All that stuff. Yeah. So our big thing is we are a Leave No Trace event, and we pair up with Plastic Free Terrace to reduce single-use plastics. And so our big thing is we try to encourage everybody to pack it in, pack it out. And because it's an old growth forest, we are on the Tsimshian traditional territory lands. We want to treat it with respect. So we have a team, we call it the Green Team. And so we have recycle bins and garbage bins all around the property, and they go around and they pick up trash to make sure they're like everybody's recycling. We don't allow alcohol outside, like open alcohol outside of the camp. So if you're drinking alcohol, we ask that you keep your alcohol in your camp, and that way it just keeps it a little bit more family friendly that way. And so our green team will go around and they'll put in new garbage bags when needed. They'll pick up the recycling and they bring all of it back to, we have a garbage bin and then we have a recycle section. And so all of the cans and bottles that we collect over the weekend, we actually donate to NARA, and NARA uses those funds in the community. And so our big thing is we try to keep things and try to instill in that sense of, this is your space, your camp is a direct reflection of you. And we kind of toyed around with the idea of maybe having something like a green map. So as volunteers are cleaning up after the event, they would highlight areas that did not do well with their Leave No Trace and kind of like reflect in what areas need to be better. It's kind of an idea that we've experienced at Burning Man, Jordy and I, because they do something called a moot map. So the people who clean up after the event will do the whole area, and then they'll highlight areas that didn't leave, like that left trash essentially. And it's a community call out of like, hey, like you didn't pick up all your stuff. And so we've been kind of, yeah, we haven't done it yet. This is kind of the year that we were thinking about maybe trying it. We're not really sure how it's going to go. I want to do it because I think accountability, and when you make it public, people can be like, oh, the people who I know, who I am friends with, who camped at Odin's Clearing, left a bunch of trash. So yeah. I'm going to go to them and be like, you left your trash. Accountability is a big thing, and it's something we really want to install in everyone who comes and in part of the community, we're trying to build that mentality of like, this is your festival ground. You're not just a guest here. You are building this community. You are part of this group. Even if you're not volunteering, even if you're not part of the director team or the artist team, you're still, this is your community. These are your grounds. You are building this as a member of this group. And so a lot of our volunteers that we've had for since the very beginning, they actually built campsites and they named the campsites. And so it becomes their campsite and they create, like, they'll camp there and it's, they take care of it, but they also bring their friends there. And they're like, I built this campsite. You're going to help me take care of it. This is our campsite now. And so it's that, that instillment of, this is our space. We're going to take care of it. It's a direct reflection of who we are. And so we really want to keep that up, and not just, just for volunteers, but also for the people who keep coming back year and year and year after year.
You mentioned NARA. What's that?
So NARA is the National, or Northern Animal Rescue. It's the, they're the nonprofit community groups that shelters animals in Northern BC. Okay. And so there's a branch in Rupert and a branch in Terrace. I don't know if NARA is in Smithers. Mm-hmm. I don't think so. But basically what they do is there's a gentleman who works for NARA who will collect bottles and cans and he'll take them to the recycling center. And he uses those funds to help get people get their pets fixed if they don't have enough money, or to buy food for the animals that have been abandoned. It helps pay for fees for pets who need to get like surgeries done, or who need to be fostered. It helps cover the care of pets being fostered, so the foster, you know, pet parents aren't footing all of this bill. It helps them. So we try to donate as much as possible. We collect funds where we can. And then every year we choose like a local nonprofit to collect funds for at the gate. And then we give that to them. So this year, I think we're doing bottles and cans and whatnot that have been collected for recycling. That's going to NARA. And then if I remember correctly, the community that we, or the program that we chose this year is the Helping Hands. And so all of the donations that we take at the gate will be for Helping Hands.
All right, Erin McPherson, thank you so much for speaking with me today. We're so excited to see the photos that come out of Valhalla Fest this year, and we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been so much fun.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.